Welcome to the Master Your Health podcast. My name's Amanda Meixner, aka MeowMix on Instagram. I'm best known for my meal prep and nutrition content. And today I'm here with my co-host, the research junkie between the two of us, and my fiance, Chris Rocchio.
Hello, everyone.
This is the last week I'm going to be calling him my fiance because we're getting married this weekend.
Yeah, we have a lot to do still, but we wanted to make sure that we got this episode out for you. So,
yeah, we're keeping our promise of delivering a podcast a week, but we are in crunch mode right now. But I'm really, really excited for our wedding.
Yeah, I am too. So we're going to read a review really quick before we get into the episode. And this one is from Moga underscore underscore. Love your podcast so far. Episode 4 with Dr. Tyler was great. So much information was delivered regarding health and nutrition topics that always come up. I found it very useful and applicable. Thank you all so much for taking the time to break down some of the stuff for your followers. Thank you, Moga.
Thank you so much. If you guys could take a minute and leave us a review, give us that feedback, that would mean so much to Chris and I.
Absolutely.
Getting into today's episode, we're chatting with one of my friends, Celeste Thomas, aka The True Spoon on Instagram. She's a registered nurse, skincare junkie, and green beauty fanatic. What I really love about Celeste's story is she was able to overcome her own issues with her skin and her acne problems and turn that into a passion for helping others. What's also really crazy is seeing her in person, because you would have no idea that she used to have horrible acne problems, because her skin looks flawless now.
Yeah, it really glows. And you guys and gals are really lucky to have someone like Celeste, because she breaks it down for you. And when I was that age, when I was younger, we had things like oxy pads and alcohol to zap our skin and just dried it the hell out. And so that's not the way to go. She tells you things like managing your stress level and your mental health and maintaining a healthy gut. So she has the proper approach. I'm excited for you guys to listen and to hear your feedback.
Let's get into it. And I'd like to welcome to the podcast holistic skincare expert Celeste.
Hi guys.
What's happening?
Looking gorgeous as ever.
Oh, you're
and
so
your
sweet.
Skin is glowing.
Hey, that's what it's all about.
It's all about the skin today. That's what we're here to talk about. So for our listeners, I wanted to get, you know, a little bit on your background story when it comes to acne. I guess you had really bad acne, which is crazy for me to think about because your skin is so beautiful.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Yeah, you would not be able to tell. So, you know, what got you into this whole area of skincare? And then we'll get into a bit about your like personal acne story.
Yeah, so I think what really got me into skincare is having problem skin. And from the time I was an adolescent, I just had really bad acne, and it was a genetic thing. My mom had acne as well, and I don't really feel like she ever really educated herself about acne or how to treat it, and she kind of always just let me know that it was a genetic thing that would pass after I was a teenager, and it didn't. I mean, I went through high school and college just having bad acne, and I actually went to nursing school. I'm a registered nurse and tried every single Western way to treat acne, and then realized after going to some of the top dermatologists and trying prescription medications and all those kind of things that that's not the holy grail, and that didn't work for me. So I started to have to look at my diet and practices and then products in order to heal my skin more holistically. So that's really like a 10, 11 year evolution and journey of me and skincare. And that's why I have my platform to really help educate and share about healing skin.
Wow. I mean, and that's what I love about your story. And that's what I really want to get into is what are these more natural ways to heal acne? And, you know, are those pills really the answer, or are your methods probably so much better? I would go with yes.
Well, it's just interesting because I think we're all, since we're all into nutrition and fitness and being healthy, we realize that there's no band-aid for treating your body. You can't quick fix anything. And if you try with a certain kind of crazy crash diet or you try with a medication, you're going to end up needing to heal yourself and really change your lifestyle at some point. Mm-hmm. So kind of the same thing with acne is true. You can take a medication for a certain amount of time, but most of the medications that they put you on for acne or for women where they prescribe birth control for acne, you're only supposed to be doing that for a certain amount of time to get it under control. And then even doctors technically are supposed to take you off those medications.
Oh,
it's not a long-term fix.
But they don't necessarily take you off them, right?
That's the issue. Because it's working for patients and they just want to keep them happy. There's a whole larger conversation about drug companies and keeping people on medications just in general in this world. But It was very interesting because I recently took an advanced dermatology course for my nursing license, and seeing the medication breakdown for acne and then the length of time you're supposed to be on them floored me, because most of them are not supposed to be taken for more than 3 months in most cases.
Wow.
And how long are most people on these?
Years and years.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you'll have listeners that are listening in right now that have been taking prescription medication to heal their acne for 2, 3, 4 years, or women who have been on birth control to help their acne, quote unquote, for 10 years, like I was. Mm-hmm. So it's medication and dermatologists, they have their place in this world. And I'm not trying to take away any credibility from that. And anyone who's taking prescription medications for their acne right now, don't just stop them. Mm-hmm. But I really do believe that eventually, with all of those quick fix band-aids, you're going to have to learn how to take care of your skin in another way.
Is there some sort of tolerance that you build up to these medications, whether it's a topical treatment or oral medication? Is there a tolerance, or maybe you just down-regulate your ability to for it to actually work or something like that?
Of course. I think with any medication, there's the probability that your body is going to get used to it, and that you're going to need to up the dosage or change things up to make them work, or they're just not going to work for you, and then you're left needing a holistic option. Right.
So what are some of the natural ways you'd say to first start with, or begin this natural journey of healing your skin?
Yeah. So I think one really important thing that I wanted to touch on, especially with you guys, because I know in your content you've talked about this too, but it's really healing your gut. Healing your gut is so important. And when we talk about diet and product and practices and all of that, that foundation of a healthy gut needs to be laid down before you can implement any other practices or nutrition or anything into your life.
Mm, it's crucial. Most people wouldn't even think that. That's like the last thing you would think of when you think of skin health, you know. But I know it's you know, they've been actually, I was reading something just to get ready for this podcast, and it's talking about how they've actually made a connection with inflammation and acne and things mm-hmm. like that. For actually since like 1909, I think that was the first connection that was made, you know, but it's actually taken a full 100 years for us to actually come full circle and bring credence to that.
It is so true. When you think about inflammation, you think about puffiness, you think about redness, you think about pretty much what acne is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's not surprising to think that that's actually going to show up on your skin when you have a lot of inflammation in your gut and in your body.
So can you talk about a little bit of the mechanism with that, and like how that connection works, and maybe in layman's terms for our listeners here?
Yeah, to try to break it down really easily. So, you know, when we talk about inflammatory foods, we talk about sugars, we talk about not having the right kind of bacteria in our GI system to break down what we're eating. You have a lot of stagnant, you know, matter in your body, in your GI tract. And really what that is doing is it's the epithelium in your GI system is being inflamed, and then all of the cascade of responses really end up in your skin. So it's just this whole long line of processes of inflammation from one place to another, where you eventually have redness or acne and different things like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's crazy. So what would be some of the steps to like start healing your gut? Mm-hmm. Like, where do you start?
It's so crazy. So I actually teach fermentation workshops. I'm a huge advocate for home fermentation. And the first step is really looking at your diet and realizing what modern technology has done to our food system.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you talk about the pesticides that are killing off our natural gut flora, we're talking about all of dairy products that are preserved and they're pasteurized, and all of those natural, wonderful lactic acid bacteria that is supposed to go with lactose in milk is taken out of our system. Everything's sanitized, everything's antibiotics. Mm-hmm. We are left with a GI system that has, it's void of the type of bacteria and microflora that we need to really break down and absorb our food.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading something about how you can introduce a specific bacteria that can help this. It's the Acidophilus, the Bacillus Acidophilus, that helps with the acne specifically.
Well, that is very interesting. I've heard of that, and I haven't tried that specifically and tested it, but mm-hmm. it makes complete sense. You need to be able to break down and absorb your nutrients correctly to have healthy skin and to reduce that inflammation. So if you can just look at your diet and some like really easy, simple things you could do to help with your GI system is you could take a probiotic, but that's kind of a band-aid in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's the end all be all. I really think you need to look into where your food's coming from. So buying organic food when you can, buying local food when you can, that just naturally will be coated with bacteria that's going to help inoculate your system. Mm-hmm. It might not be, you know, tested the same way that a probiotic would, but I am such a believer in eating good food in your body, utilizing that good food, mm-hmm. versus the tricks of supplementation or, you know, again, band-aids and quick fixes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So high quality meats that don't have antibiotics and preservatives, high quality fruits and vegetables as local as possible. So if you can just start there, that's the first step in healing your gut, in my opinion. Then moving on to a probiotic, if you don't want to make your own fermented foods or don't like fermented foods, mm-hmm. which I understand.
It's an acquired taste for
but
some.
But there's so many different ones. And mm-hmm. that's what I love about her page, Celeste page and Celeste blog, is that you share all these different recipes. Her coconut yogurt, Chris, didn't you try that? Mm-hmm. You tried that? Absolutely. It's hard not to eat too much of it because you were like, there's a ton of probiotics. Don't eat more than like a couple spoonfuls. And I'm like, okay. And
yeah, I told tough. Chris. I had to like
right?
a scoop
ration
of that
it.
And mix it up with the regular Greek yogurt.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like not go too crazy. But that's like, so there's that. There's the sauerkraut. There's kimchi. And there's even like pickles if you find the right brands or make them yourself, of course. There's yeah. so many different options, so hopefully, and kombucha.
Mm-hmm. Super
simple. You can find one that maybe you like out of all those different options out there and try some of Celeste's recipes yeah. for sure.
Yeah, and going back to what you said about changing your diet, I mean, obviously, you know that if you have a diet predominantly with refined sugars, that can change your gut microbiome to fit that diet. So it'll pretty much, you'll have a overabundance of bacteria that craves that, and that can actually change the overall, I would say, ratio of the variety of your bacteria. Whereas if you change over to whole foods and, you have the proper prebiotic fiber and things like that, that can change it around completely. But, another thing that I was actually reading into is that one connection is low stomach acid. And a lot of people with bad digestive issues, actually you can trace that back to having low stomach acid, and
pH,
obviously you're breaking yeah. down your you're not breaking down your food, and mm-hmm. it's getting into your intestines without being fully digested the way that your stomach should, so it creates a series of issues down the line, and that can actually create an issue, an environment for small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. And so
yes.
it's just this whole line of problems that really mm-hmm. comes back to fixing it, at the very simplistic way, fix your way that you eat, work on digestive issues, work on absorption, mm-hmm. and work on your gut health.
Yeah. And then once you've kind of gotten your gut health a little bit under control and you're on the right path with that, mm-hmm. then you can think about what you're actually eating, because your body's going to be able to absorb those nutrients, and it's directly reflected on your skin. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we talk about the amino acids you need for beautiful skin, when people are taking collagen supplements, when they're making sure to get lots of vitamin C and all of these things that are going to give you a glowy, healthy complexion, you have to be able to absorb it. So mm-hmm. when you brought that up, it's a huge touch point. You need to have a healthy GI system so you can absorb the nutrients, because people are spending a ton of money on supplements and products mm-hmm. and powders to put in their superfood smoothies. If you can't absorb that, there's no point. It's not bioavailable to you at all.
Like, so what about things to cut out of your diet? Because
yes.
obviously there's hyper inflammatory foods that, and obviously if you have a healthy diet and you introduce these foods every now and then, mm-hmm. then it's fine and you'll be all right. But if you've spent years and years having these as staples, then they can create that inflammation. It's like chronic inflammation. So
yes. So there's so many things, but the American Dermatologic Association has found correlations between high glycemic foods and acne directly. Mm. So again, that goes into, your microbiome, maybe low acid, like you said, mm-hmm. with refined sugars. So really trying to cut back on your refined sugars is huge. I mean, evidence-based research studies after evidence-based research study, you don't talk about something with the American Dermatologic Association unless it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to reduce your high glycemic foods, especially from cane sugar, all different kind of refined sugar, that is huge. And I feel like there's so many good alternatives now. So if
yes.
you really... Like if you monk try
fruits, yes, stevia, yeah.
Or like, even fruit, like or just fruit,
yeah,
you know, pare it down.
Yes, well, because fruit will have the fiber, so the right. sugar will be released more slowly, so mm-hmm. that will cause like less inflammation and all of that,
and
so.
Good for your microbiome and all the bacteria in your gut mm-hmm. with that prebiotic fiber. So that's huge. Another big one, and this is interesting because they found scientific correlations between certain people who are predisposed to being genetically acne prone and dairy consumption and how that exacerbates acne. Mm. So I'm not saying every single person shouldn't have dairy. I think dairy is great for some, but for those who are acne prone, dairy can exacerbate their acne.
Right.
I've read that. I'm not sure if you know if it's a definitive connection, but you sometimes make that connection, right?
I sometimes think, I mean, I can handle some dairy, but mm-hmm. I do think if I have too much in my diet, I yeah. feel like I do break out more. Yeah. I feel like I can tolerate, like, it's like the amount for me.
And it's probably the quality of the dairy you're choosing.
Yes. Yes. And I, you know what I want to try more, which, you know, I think it's hard to find some more of the raw dairy since mm-hmm. it is
unpasteurized.
Yeah. Right. Which they have it, I think, Erewhon. I don't know if they have it at Whole Foods yet.
Right. So that still has the lactobacillus bacteria in it to help you process that. So it's not sitting around just making your body inflamed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the dairy thing is huge. If you are suffering from acne, or if anyone listening is suffering from acne, you know the toll it takes on your mental health. And if you just try cutting out dairy, see if it helps. Why not? Yeah. Give yourself a 2-week test. Where you try not to eat dairy, because personally, when I eat dairy, I break out like next day.
Oh, really? Even like mm-hmm. a small amount of cheese?
I think maybe a touch of cheese wouldn't bother me.
But it's like if you have like a good amount.
Right. Yeah. Also, I mean, I buy organic. Cheese is also fermented. So mm-hmm. there's something to be said about that okay. if it's high quality. So
what about like Greek yogurt? Would that break you out?
I haven't done Greek yogurt in a long time, but if I had some organic Greek yogurt, I think I would be okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I might see it in my skin, but I'm just really, really acne prone and really sensitive. So I'm someone who has had to be really diligent about what I eat for my skin.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess that goes to another question that I've seen mm-hmm. you on your Instagram yeah. is alcohol mm-hmm. is a trigger, which I guess also tied to inflammation.
Yeah. So for me, it's wine that isn't natural wine with a lot of sulfites and additives and preservatives mm-hmm. and that will definitely sulfites make me red and cause inflammation in the body too. So there's a lot of things, but I mean, it's really not that complicated. And once you kind of get it going and change your diet a little bit, you're going to have healthier, happier skin. Another one I want to touch on, because I feel like this is a huge American thing, is caffeine intake.
Ooh, that's a good subject. I'm way addicted.
Yeah, you and I both.
Yes, everyone is.
Right.
Who isn't? And as we know, caffeine, especially coffee, it's an inflammatory food. Mm-hmm. It just is. Caffeine causes inflammation in the body, and it can cause acne. So just limiting it. Like, I drink 4-Sigmatic, unsponsored, but open to it. Yeah. Actually, I used to work for the company, and I love them.
I do too.
They're great. They're the greatest. I mean, they have low caffeine coffee. It's about the same amount of caffeine as decaf. Mm-hmm. For all of you listening, decaf coffee has caffeine.
Yes.
So don't forget. It usually has about 50 milligrams of
caffeine. Oh, I didn't know it had 50. I thought it was like 8 milligrams. No. 50?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like a half a cup.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, I'm going to tell myself I was going to try to give it up for a little. And I was like, I'm going to start with decaf. But yeah. I didn't know it has 50, though. That's
that's kind of like the way to kind of wean yourself off so you don't yeah. get the headaches and everything like that.
Yes.
You
know? So,
but yeah, okay. I didn't know that was a trigger as well.
Yeah.
Well, I do know that, I mean, I read that I'm not sure if that's just a correlation, not sure if they've actually established causation, but there's definitely a connection with mental health, like anxiety and depression, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, I mean, there's definitely a trigger, like you start getting acne and then you start getting anxiety because of your acne and then it's a downward spiral, you know, but
snowball.
But I'm not sure if one causes the other, or, you know, I'm not sure if they've even established that science mm-hmm. yet. So maybe you can enlighten us with that.
And it is hard. I mean, when we're talking about, there's so many amazing studies out there and people who are spending millions of dollars with a team of scientists, and that is fantastic. And we can utilize those resources, but really every human is different. and you have to kind of test and trial and error on yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we've all found our fitness journey through different ways and our, mm-hmm. our wellness journeys, but I can never do exactly what Chris does or exactly what Amanda does in order to have, you know, my best skin or my healthiest lifestyle. It is about trial and error. But personally, I mean, there has been plenty of studies to prove that caffeine is inflammatory. Coffee can be inflammatory, but you just have to test it on yourself.
Yeah.
And for me, caffeine is a trigger. When I switch to 4-Sigmatic every day instead of coffee, my acne, you know, my skin was more relaxed. I didn't have a lot of acne at that point because I was doing so many other things, mm-hmm. but I also, my anxiety was much better. So nice. That's a whole nother topic, but I mean, there's definitely so many correlations with that. Right. So those are my main tips: caffeine intake, dairy intake, refined sugar intake. And then also, you know, if you're drinking a lot of wine, that's a natural wine, you're drinking a lot of spirits, things like that, that kind of gets into the sugar glycemic index, you know, box too, because mm-hmm. it does, most alcohol that people are drinking have a lot of added sugars.
And I also wonder if with the glycemic index, if it depends on whether or not you are insulin resistant mm-hmm. or not, you know, like depends on, you know, if you're insulin sensitive, it might not be an issue for you, but if you're pre-diabetic or, you know, anything along those lines, then it may be an issue. But I was also thinking when you were talking about finding what works for you, I immediately thought of what I tell my clients with intolerances. If you think you're intolerant with a food, or if you have certain food that you eat for a long period of time, let's say you've had eggs for mm-hmm. every day for the last 2 years, you probably have a small intolerance to it. So I always tell them, if you're concerned or if you're just suspicious that there's a certain food causing some inflammation or intolerance, is just eliminate it from your diet, do a little food journal, talk mm-hmm. about what you're taking out of your diet and see if there's any changes. And then if you reintroduce it and you feel those changes come back, then you know that that's the problem mm-hmm. food. So just either eliminate it or cycle it out every now and then. But you really have to kind of do your own experiment for yourself, because, you know, it you have years and years of patterns that create this, and it's not a one size fits all type of a process.
That's such a good touch point. And I also want to like piggyback on that and just say that it's such a process. You're never going to completely change your diet and your lifestyle and your skin overnight. And you shouldn't try to do that.
Oh God.
It's so overwhelming.
That would be too much. And then I feel like I would fail if I ever took that approach.
That's the thing. We really do have to come from a place of self-compassion and just being a little more relaxed about it and just make those little changes. I'm sure with your clients, you know, you have to do that and give them that advice. Like mm-hmm. you can't, Rome was not built in a day.
Right.
Let's give ourselves a break here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so difficult. I mean, it's hard for me to even do it. And I know that I mean, and I'm in this world and thinking about it every day, but people that are trying to make this change out of nowhere, that's the first time they're ever trying to be conscious about their diet. I understand how difficult it is, you know, especially if you're just used to doing the same thing and you have that craving and you're like, oh, I really like my coffee, I really need it, you know. But like you said, I mean, you can definitely have those alternatives, you know, like the 4-Sigmatic mushroom coffee, you know. And so you just have to find, I would say, crutches to start off with. You don't have to completely eliminate, just find some substitution that can fill the void while you're making that transition, you know?
Yeah. And as it pertains to skin, I mean, for those who are super acne prone, like myself, if I want to go and have a blowout meal and get drunk and eat a bunch of cheese and wake up with a few breakouts, like that's okay.
You just know why.
Yeah. Then the next day I'm like, oh man, like this is happening. Like ice rolling my face, like just praying to the skin gods that I won't end up with like, a big one on my forehead.
Well, you have an ice roller, don't you?
She left me one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What does that do?
So again, with inflammation, it's just cooling the surface of the skin to help kind of, you know, at the actual site of breakouts, reduce the size of potential breakouts, and also help with a little bit of redness.
Oh, I just thought it made your skin look like tighter and younger. So
I mean, that's another thing too. You can get that kind of immediate, you're chilling, you know, the surface of the skin and get a little tightening effect, but mm-hmm. really it's kind of a preventative for breakouts.
Oh, nice. Oh,
I didn't know it was preventative. I was thinking more like Chris too. I totally forgot.
Yeah, yeah, things buried in our freezer right now.
Are you going to let me ice roll your skin after
Absolutely
this?
Not.
Absolutely. You'd love it. It feels so good. It does. Good.
If you were hot, you'd probably let me do it.
I need to do it right now. I'm burning up.
You're just sweating over here.
I just finished my workout, so I had not recovered yet.
I'll try it on. We'll try it on after this for the gram. Do a little boomerang.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I guess I have a question, because I feel like there's also that that common theory, like it's the sweat from the gym, mm-hmm. and like you didn't wash your face, or like maybe you get acne from sweating so much from working out. Is there any truth to that, or do you have any process around that?
Yeah, so definitely there's a lot of truth to it. What I think it is personally is we have bacteria, we have our own, you know, body's natural bacteria, but you might have bacteria from the bar of you doing a squat, and you might have bacteria from the gym that's, you know, there's so many different strains of bacteria that can cause acne. So you get all of this nasty bacteria from the gym on your body, people coughing, people sneezing, it's all in the air. So if you're sweating and that bacteria is sticking to your back and your face and you're not cleansing your skin or using a wipe, like no wonder, it's your skin becomes a breeding ground for bacteria, and there's a lot of potential for breakouts.
Got it. So you, I've seen you on your story. You usually bring a wipe for after the gym, or you make sure you go home and wash your face, wash your body type of situation.
So it all depends on, you know, what my day is looking like. And for those listening, like you can just tailor it to what you're doing, but I always have wipes in my car. Always, always. And then if I have time, after I finish my workout, I'll rinse my face with cold water at the gym and then use a wipe and wipe maybe my back or my body, things like that. If I'm just running out of the gym, I'll just do a quick wipe on my face, you know, wipe on my chest, wipe on my back or neck. A lot of people get breakouts in their upper neck or behind their ears where the sebum from the skin and the hair and the bacteria all kind of come together.
Oh, wow.
It's gross, but it's true. And it's true. No one likes acne. If you just do a nice wipe, or, I mean, if you can shower right away, more power to you.
Yeah, but sometimes you can't. So that's good. No. The wipe is like a nice hack. Mm-hmm. I mean, I used to actually have worse acne, but I think, I mean, maybe I've been better about showering after, but also the dry brush for me, I think has helped my acne, but I think I just remember to exfoliate a little bit more that way.
So a lot of times people get acne because of, you know, the dead skin cells, the sebum, which is like a mixture of oil and sweat and everything like that, is laying on the top of the skin, just clogging pores. So when you're doing an exfoliating process like dry brushing, you're actually lifting the sebum and dead skin cells off of your skin so it doesn't clog your pores and create breakouts. So that's a great option if someone likes to dry brush.
Yeah.
I'm too lazy. Really? I need to start.
But your skincare, like I don't have a whole skincare routine like you. Like that is my skincare routine.
Right. Yeah.
Also, I mean, but so acne is partially genetic though, because I mean, Chris, you just have good skin.
Because you're sitting here saying like oil and sweat, but I am the oiliest, sweatiest person on the planet. Yeah. And I've always had decent skin. Of course, when I was a teenager, I had that little phase where you have small little breakouts, but I never had the patches. I never had a problem. And like I said, I like secrete olive oil. I swear to God, like this,
you're gonna look sweaty young Italian. Forever.
Yeah, I swear. And so it's like, it's so weird. I just lucked out. I definitely lucked out, but it's one of those things where I do not know the struggle that everybody's going through on this one, you know?
I know a little. Well, I had bad acne, bacne, but.
Was it something that like was triggered? Were you an athlete back in the day? Is that what the deal was, or?
It was really just adolescence and hormone changes in adolescence. Mm. But a lot of the genetic component of acne comes in with that sebum and your dead skin cells. And it's almost like brick after brick laying a pattern of, you know, dead skin cells and sebum that are going to clog your pores. And people are genetically predisposed to not sloughing off dead skin cells and holding on to sebum and skin cells. And that's why people are genetically acne prone. There's probably some other factors, but, and I don't know exactly what the mechanism is of some people releasing those skin cells and them sloughing off naturally and other people's skin holding on to that dead tissue. But that's a huge factor when it comes to genetic acne.
That's really interesting. But I think, you know, but you give, you know, our listeners help. So even if you're, if you're acne prone, there's still a lot you can do, even if your genetics are at your disadvantage.
Of course.
And we can just push Chris aside with his perfect skin.
Don't listen to anything I'm saying over here.
But you do theoretical stuff. You do shower a lot. Like you're pretty, like you always shower.
I shower more than anybody because
that's why you're marrying him. He showers well.
Because he showers well.
Like at least
he's
two
like,
times
I'm not
going
to let you deal with this workout stank. I'm going to hop in the shower right away.
Oh, and it's even worse when I'm back home because LA is, at least it's dry, you know, but where I come from, it's humid as hell. So like, you know, you could take a shower and if it's like that 7 month period between, you know, March and like late into the fall, it doesn't matter. I'm stepping outside and I'm sweating. So at least I get a little bit easier like time out in LA, you know, it's dry air. But yeah, if I go back home to St. Louis, it's like 3-4 showers a day.
No, but that's probably his version of the wipes. He's not going to use the wipes. Yeah, exactly. So he's going to get in the shower and he'll do it like 3 times a day if he needs to.
And that's perfect. And, you know, seems like you don't really need a big exfoliation practice like Amanda does.
I mean, if I do need it, I don't do it.
So, no, he's good. He doesn't have really any breakouts.
No.
But for those people who are genetically acne prone.
If you hear the pitter-patter, that's a little dog running around here.
Celeste brought her dog in. It's so cute.
Bones a girl wanted to make her appearance.
She's chill.
She's a good girl. But for those who are acne prone and they have that skin that, you know, the dead skin cells and the sebum really builds up, what you need to do is exfoliate. So whether it's a physical or a chemical exfoliate, you really need to incorporate that into your routine in order to have clear skin. Mm-hmm. So Amanda uses a physical exfoliant. She does dry brushing. I'm more of a chemical exfoliant person. So a chemical exfoliant sounds crazy, but it's just something that's acidic to help break down that sebum and those dead skin cells in order for them to slough off easier and for my skin to be able to breathe without clogging my pores.
So what kind of, so like the face wash or like the face scrub, what's kind of like products do you like to use?
Yeah. So I think one really important thing to talk about is with physical exfoliants, which are, you know, they're mechanical, it's a dry brush. It's a, think about that apricot scrub that we've all heard of that has the apricot kernels and it scratches off your skin. It is the worst.
Really?
That's good to know.
Think about having this bacterial breeding ground where you have like pustules of acne and then taking like a big rake and just raking through it. That is not going to reduce your inflammation. That is not going to help clear your breakouts. It's just going to spread everything and cause you to be more red and inflamed and look like a crazy person. So for people who have maybe some acne or like some little things that don't have whiteheads, like you could use a really soft exfoliant or, you know, dry brush for your body. I wouldn't suggest that for your face because facial skin is very, very sensitive, but you can use something like a chemical exfoliant, like a AHA, a lactic acid you could use a benzoyl peroxide. You could use something that is a chemical that's going to be gently peeling away those layers of dead skin cells to help refresh your skin. So I am a huge, huge fan of that. You can also get enzyme masks. Again, with the fermentation products and enzymes, fruit acid enzymes are fantastic for breaking down dead skin cells. So in my current, you know, facial routine practice, I use a chemical exfoliant and different products, you know, morning, night, and then with masks a few times a week.
Can you over exfoliate though?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to ask. I mean, you probably have the temptation, especially if you have like an event coming up or something like that, you have the temptation to overdo everything. You know, you're doing the exfoliant and the cream and this and that, and then you can probably, you know, do damage over long term. You know, you probably won't see the damage short term, but, you know, over years and years, right?
It's a challenge. Products are really a challenge because every skin type is different. There's so many factors. That's why I'm glad that we talked about really the foundation, setting the foundation of gut health, nutrition, and then, you know, moving on to skincare then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you can definitely overdo it. And just like with your diet, when you're talking about with your clients, you know, they need to intuitively, you know, do things little by little and see if a food item works for them or doesn't work for them. Same thing with skincare. Mm-hmm. You want to test something. You want to, you know, maybe if you're having breakouts, but you have this really great skincare routine, you know, take out one thing and test like, okay, is that it? You know, maybe take out a different thing, see what that is. So it is a process, but I will say with exfoliation, particularly if your skin is irritated, if it feels really tight and itchy, if it's visibly red in places that you don't have acne, those would be really good telltale signs that you've overdone it.
Yeah, dial it back.
Dial it back. But then is a moisturizer just as important also? Or like, yeah, I feel like there's always that scare too. Like, I don't want to be oily to like block up my acne.
So you have to really look at quality of product and ingredient, just like food. I mean, there's certain, the word is comedogenic. I'm butchering
it. Oh my
it.
Goodness.
Something, because comedome is poor. It pretty much, it's the word, we're going to put it in the show notes.
There we go.
Yeah. We'll but it means if a product has the potential to clog your pores or not.
Okay.
So there's really great hydrating ingredients that are great for acne-prone skin, for skin that's really oily, and then there's products that are better for skin that's really, really dry and needs hydration. So things that I love to use are like aloe. Aloe is a great hydrator. It's safe for all skin types. It's really easily absorbable, won't clog your pores. Another one is hyaluronic acid, which sounds like an acid, but it's actually not. It's a hydrophilic molecule that brings in water and helps plump the skin almost like water would. So those are great if you're acne-prone. You're really safe with those. And then for someone who's really, really dry, having different oils, chia seed oil, coconut oil, things like that, I wouldn't just go to Whole Foods and buy an oil, but finding skincare products that are more oil-based are fine for skin types that are more dry and dehydrated, more dry than anything else.
Okay. That's a really good tip.
I was also going to ask you about collagen, like topical versus oral. I've also heard that the topical collagen is pretty much useless, and that if you're going to use it for your skin health, then you should take it orally.
I 100% agree with that.
Okay, nice.
People like to toss in those words, you know, collagen, peptides, it's this and that. It's not bioavailable on the surface of your skin.
Okay.
It, you know, if you have a serum with collagen in it and it has other oils and things like that, yeah, you slap it on your skin, it might look nice for 5 minutes, but you know, once it's off of your face, it did nothing.
Okay.
So really it's, when you're ingesting it, it's those amino acid building blocks. It's helping your skin regenerate new collagen and elastin and have bouncier, plumper, better looking skin.
So your anti-aging cream is bullshit.
But I'm sure Celeste knows.
No, but it is. It is. The anti-aging cream, I mean, there's so much, you know, what do they call it? Snake oil out there in the wellness world.
Well, of
so
course.
Really, it's just being a connoisseur of brands and doing your research or finding your lovely, trusted wellness influencers that you trust.
Oh, yeah.
Can give you recommendations.
You share so many great recommendations on your Instagram page. Which is what? Is it just at Celeste?
At the True Spoon.
Oh, at the True Spoon. I don't know why. I should know.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, she
I know it. It's fine. I'll
so many great products. And then she's like saves them all to her story highlights. So if you guys, I still text her sometimes, which I'm spoiled. I have that. I'm like, I should just go to her page. Like I'm kind of. But
anyone can DM me. I have constant DMs from my community every day and I'm so happy to help. And you know, that's really what I'm here to do is help you with your skin health and to be confident in your skin. And I had the sweetest email from an 18-year-old guy yesterday who was talking to me about his skincare challenges and things like that. And I was able to help him like find a routine and troubleshoot a few things like via email and DM. And I mean, that just means the world to me to be able to connect with someone like that and help them. Like I will be that resource for anyone. That's what I'm here for.
Oh, I love that. You really are so helpful. So I have a question on products too. Is there anything to look out for? You know, there's so many toxic products now in the market. Like, could that be making your acne worse? Like,
yeah, I mean, this is a huge can of worms, but I'm going to give people just like two easy resources. Most products that you find on the market have toxic ingredients that could potentially hurting your skin. The Environmental Working Group, EWG, they have a great website. You can type in any ingredient that you know, is in the first five ingredients of your product that you can't read, pronounce, or know what they are, look them up. EWG. Like, definitely do it. And then an easier one, but it doesn't have everything, is the Think Dirty app.
I'm in love with it.
It's so good. You can scan things, you can type things in, and it'll tell you, it'll give it a numerical rating. Anything under 3 is, you know, approved by Think Dirty, and I think is pretty much safe. I mean, we could split hairs, but I mean, no one has time to, you know.
Right, right.
But under 3, and then if it's over that, it'll say why, and then you can make your own decision. It'll highlight what ingredient is the worst and why. Is it a carcinogen? Does it clog your pores? Like, so it'll tell you exactly what you need to know.
Nice.
Love it. Well,
yeah, instead of trying to memorize everything, just have that app on your phone and, you know, and then just give it a little double check, do your due diligence, and then, you know, do it the first time through. And then now, you know, you pick your couple products and ride those out for a couple years.
Awesome. Well, honestly, you gave away so many nuggets of info in this podcast. So I wanted to ask you one of our last questions, which would be, if there's one area of life you'd want listeners to like master first, or you think would give them the most benefit, what would that be? Like, what area do you think they should kind of focus on first?
I think the first area is just developing a really healthy, positive relationship with yourself. Just more of the mind component. I mean, no matter how beautiful your skin looks or, you know, how skinny you are or how much you work out or anything like that, if you're not happy with who you are and you can't sit with yourself and just smile and be happy, you're never going to be happy about anything positive that happens in your life. So start there, and then everything else is a bonus.
Oh, I love that. That's a great answer. Thing.
And they can find you at The True Spoon on Instagram. And do you have a YouTube page, or is that your primary social media?
So on Instagram, and then also thetruespoon.com.
Thetruespoon.com.
Yeah. And then she also has some awesome ebooks. Yes. What was it? She has different fermentation. Yeah, she has a fermentation ebook.
I have a fermentation ebook. It teaches you how to do home fermentation really easily with a starter that you can buy on Amazon. So anyone in the world can do it.
The recipes are good.
We've tested. I've tested both her sauerkraut recipe and her coconut yogurt. Yeah, so good.
Legit.
I love it. So I'm happy that you guys approve. So that one, and then I have an acne skincare guide, which has some home practices, some dietary things that we went over today, and also the exact products that I use morning and night. And it's not sponsored. It's just what I actually use and what works for me. So,
I mean, honestly, like any brand you partner with, even when they're sponsored, like you make great choices.
Yes, I'm very diligent.
And I've bought a lot of your products. That's how I get my skincare products through Celeste. I'm like, I don't want to do so much. I do enough research on the nutrition end and like fitness end. Well, let Celeste do the research for me on the skincare products.
You, girl.
Yeah, you definitely got her. She buys everything.
Well, thank you so much for everything on this episode. There's so many tips, whether you have acne or you even just want to work on gut health. So thank you for coming over. And it was so much fun hanging out with you.
Thank you both so much for having me. It was just so much fun.
Yeah. And you'll have all this information in the show notes. So we'll see you on the next one.
Bye. Bye.